So good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today. So I'm going to talk a little bit about coaching boys into men. I really had the great opportunity to work with Dr. Liz Miller in California when we actually did the large-scale clinical trial for this program. But we're going to focus today on the adaptations that we've gotten to do with the CDC Foundation, with Kimberly here, and some of our local partners in Pittsburgh through Violence Without Centers for Victims, and also Futures is obviously the large national nonprofit that actually developed the Coaching Boys Into Men program. But we're going to be focusing primarily on the role of these messengers. So we'll talk about how the large-scale clinical trial showed that this evidence-based program does work, but what happens when it actually gets implemented in the community and adaptations occur. I have no disclosures, no relationships. So this is a brief overview of what I'll be covering. We'll talk a little background. We need to understand why this is a public health problem and how Coaching Boys Into Men fits as a solution for that, and the adaptation project itself. And then we will talk about the summaries, that the findings that we had actually in southwestern Pennsylvania with the high schools that we worked with. And then we'll talk about some implications and conclusions based on the adaptations that we learned from the project. So what do we know? Clearly, you guys can check these statistics and see that what it's saying is that young women under the age of 25 are really experiencing a great deal of violence. So whether that's this physical, verbal, emotional violence that's happening, this intimate partner violence, or more sexual violence where it's this forced sex that's happening with high school girls. And primarily, we're really focused on the fact that a lot of the sexual assault is happening before the age of 25. So that's why we have this huge target group of women who are more vulnerable to sexual violence and dating violence, and at this younger age is an important primary prevention area. So what can we do? So unfortunately, programs are very limited targeting not only this younger population, but actually helping engage men and boys. So it's an important aspect of primary prevention to not only focus on the women who are getting more perpetration and actually getting violence inflicted on them, but how we can better encourage better behavior within that interaction with male partners. So another aspect of a target is our athletes. So athletes tend to be a little more also overrepresented in abuse perpetration, and youth are participating in sports. You know, we're looking at 80% of children participating in sports, so it's a really good avenue to try to do some prevention. And the fact that athletes are also seen as leaders. So a lot of studies have shown, even if I'm a performing arts person or I'm not an athlete, they are very much still in the limelight within that school climate. So it's important to highlight their behaviors and them to be leaders. So we'll talk a little bit about the Coaching Boys Into Men program. Like I said earlier, we did a large-scale clinical trial. It's now an evidence-based program, and that's wonderful. So we'll go through that very quickly, and then I'll get right into the adaptation project. So overall, the coaches are part of the solution. So it's not any surprise to all of you, if any of you have ever played sports or known someone who's played a sport or known a coach that has probably influenced your own life. Coaches have a very unique place as an adult role model. They're not a parent. They clearly spend enough time through the weeks, the days, the traveling with their athletes. So they can really make or break an experience with the youth that they're working with. And most of the time, a lot of these boys do look up to their coaches. They do follow what they say, and they do value this respect and teamwork that's happening in that sports environment. So here is the CBIM toolkit. Unfortunately, I'm sorry I did not bring a physical toolkit with me, but all of this material is actually available for free online at coachescorner.gov or .org. So if you need any of that stuff or have any questions, please feel free to call me or email me. But overall, the primary focus is the CBIM card series. So again, CBIM is Coaching Boys Into Men. I'll be using that abbreviation for the rest of the presentation. When this first got developed, they actually really focused on the playbook. So the playbook was kind of more reactive because it was taking these teachable moments that coaches were having if they had witnessed their athlete doing something and then intervening at that point. But then Futures and working with other coaches, and after doing several campaigns with engaging men, realized that they wanted to do something more preventative. So let's deliver these messages before just intervening once we actually witness violence happening, and helping our young people learn those things before the behavior occurs. So the card series is what coaches deliver, about 10, 15 minutes a week, about 12 lessons. And then the toolkit itself also comes with additional resources that Futures Without Violence provides. So the overall model, again, it's weekly, once a week, before or after practice, while you're on the bus, whatever works best for the coach. We really want it to be something that he or she is willing to do. The coaches right now are the primary deliverers of the program. And the key thing I can't emphasize enough is I could just talk about this with just the partnerships. You know, a coach cannot do this isolated on their own. You know, having a local domestic violence agency supporting that coach, knowing that that coach doesn't have to be the expert if there is a crisis situation, that they have an ally and that's the right way to do it, and that he or she does not become that expert. And, of course, the schools and the communities and other sports associations help build that network to make it much stronger. There is a standard training, and like I said, we talked about the toolkit itself, and then we actually also have developed a program evaluation. So if you want to know more again about evaluation, we can talk about that after. So let's talk about the adaptation project, because this is the bulk of what I'll talk about for the remaining of my presentation. So again, we've had this great opportunity to work with the CDC Foundation and really understand, great, we have all these evidence-based programs. When people actually use it in the community, are they implementing it the exact same way we did when we did the randomized control trial? Probably not, right? There are some other things, there are some other factors, whether it's contextual, whether it's budgets, whether it's resources, time and effort, right, is going to change the way some of these people are going to use this program. And I think it's critical for us to understand, because Coaching Boys and Men has now been an EBI for the past 3 or 4 years, nationally it's being used and locally also in Pittsburgh, it's being used in so many different ways. Adaptations are happening where actually non-coaches are now implementing this program. So what does that do to the effectiveness of this program? So overall, the challenge is there are some coaches who aren't ready to do this, right? I mean, one of the more challenging cards that we've noticed with coaches is that consent card. You know, we're not allowed to talk about sex. We're not allowed to talk about this. When really, we're actually just talking about having a communication about whether you do or do not want to participate in a behavior, and it does not have to necessarily be about that. So some coaches are not ready to talk about this. Some coaches don't want to do that because they're also teachers or have a different figure in the school that might influence the way they deliver these messages. So the research question here focuses on the fact, if it is a different implementer, such as an advocate, how does that change this program? So what we ended up doing was really looking at two local high schools, comparing how that implementation versus having a coach delivered versus an advocate delivered looks like, and really examining the outcomes of primarily the athletes. You know, how are these messages being received if it's not a coach? And identifying the impacts of these types of adaptations. Because if there is an idea that somebody else other than a coach can deliver this, we're talking about a reach and span that can very much change how this program can be used. So overall, the methods, we just randomized. We only had two schools, so it's a very small exploratory study. One school got the original model, which is a coach delivered. Another school received the adaptation model, which is having a DV advocate. And the key thing here is we did control for having all male implementers for the program. And then we conducted pre- and post-surveys, so we did do some quantitative analysis, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. We compared t-tests and adjusted for some regressions to get some mean scores. We also did qualitative data collection, so this included interviews with coaches who either deliver the program or coaches who witnessed an advocate delivering the program. We had athlete focus groups with both schools, and then we also did direct observations of these deliveries. So really actually watching as a research staff, watching either a coach or an advocate deliver the program and really checking the fidelity of that. And ongoing analysis is going on with that right now using content and thematic schemes. So let's talk about what we found from these two schools in southwestern Pennsylvania. So overall, we had about 150 athletes participate in having a pre- and a post-survey. Majority of the athletes were football, so as most of us know, football is huge, so we couldn't really control for that, and then we ended up falling over to winter sports, so we have basketball and wrestling participating as well. And it looks like a majority of our participants are a little bit younger, so most of them were 9th and 10th graders, and most of them identified as African-American or Black. And as far as education goes, there was a little bit lower education from parental fathers than from the mothers. So here is our quantitative analysis. So overall, we're looking at what does it look like from the advocate-led versus the coach-led. So overall, you can see from our numbers that we do not have any significance. So there's no significant difference. There's nothing that's showing that the advocate was different than the coach. And we'll talk a little bit more about how if we look at the recognition of abuse, and the intention to intervene. The way we did this change score was looking at, was your change score lower at pre and then higher at follow-up? So ideally, if you have a higher score, a positive score, you improved. And if we see here, there are some slight trends that we're seeing, especially with the recognition of abuse and intentions to intervene, that the advocate did slightly different. But again, these are trends. This is not significant data, and our sample size is quite small. So we can't make that big of an inference. So again, we kind of review that there's no statistical significance. The advocate delivery was a little bit better in these two aspects. I want to talk a little bit about the qualitative results. So we, again, are in the middle of analyzing this data, but really the interesting part and the more valuable and rich part is really in this data collection. We can see that the implementer did have some kind of a positive effect with the students. The advocate did have a better content, which is not a surprise because they themselves are violence prevention advocates. Some of the athletes were more receptive because it was a different voice than their coach, and the fidelity was a lot more consistent with the advocate as opposed to the coach. And from the aspect of the coach, it's also the fact that there are different implementation challenges. Some coaches think that an outside perspective might not be as credible to the athletes because they don't really know these youth. And then building relationships with athletes are key. So do you fit the part? So a lot of the athletes actually were receptive to the advocate because he was fit, because he looked like he played sports. So there's also these other things that make the advocate a little more coach-like, so that helped with his implementation. So overall, the conclusions and implications we can talk about from this attestation is we really need to investigate more. Clearly, the quantitative data tells us a little bit of a story, but since nothing was significant, really understanding this more qualitative piece will be really rich to answer some of these questions about, you know, what are the differences and similarities of these two implementers? What is it that makes it a positive influence for delivering one way or another? And really, if you are able to utilize these advocates, it really says a lot about how you can make the spread and the reach of this program much greater. So again, implications. This is a great out-of-classroom violence prevention program, especially if we can talk about how we can adapt this for different implementers. And I hadn't described it clearly, but there's definitely implementer characteristics, the content, CBIM outcomes, what is happening in this rich data that we have that we're still analyzing that tells us why these different implementers and these different adaptations are better one way or another. So again, understanding those adaptation strategies from these two implementers. And the key for my big research hat and my big nerd hat is we have to continue to monitor this stuff, right? We can't just say it's working without actually having substantial evidence that says this is working and why it's working. So we really need to do that in order to help maintain not just the fidelity of the program, but the effectiveness of that original evidence-based program still working. Right? So those intentions to intervene are still positively working. Those positive bystander behaviors are still being influences. So those were the two key things that showed in the large-scale clinical trial. And even after 12-month follow-up, there is a decrease in abuse perpetration. So those great outcomes from the program, we want to make sure that if these adaptations are happening, that those program outcomes are still happening as well. So a special thank you to all of our partners. We cannot do it without you. And then here's my contact information if any of you have additional questions. Thank you.
We have about a minute and a half left if folks have any questions specifically
for Katrina. Thank you. That was really interesting. Does that program, is it offered to non-athletes in high schools? Is that another adaptation that's possible?
And we'll need to repeat the question into the microphone. Sorry.
So the question was asking if this program, Coaching Boys and Men, is being used with non-athletes, correct? Currently, no, it's not being used right now. So the reason for kind of what I had talked about in the beginning of the PowerPoint is the target, unfortunately, right now is athletes. It is adapted, and the cards themselves very much play off of, you know, it's different when you're aggressive on the field than off the field. So there is a context to the cards. But again, if people are wanting to adapt this program, we're more than open to learn about it because the messages are still there. And we get a lot of questions about also why we don't use this program for girls. Again, the focus here, this program does a lot more gender attitudes. There's a lot more evidence that the mechanisms with boys is an issue of gender attitudes, and that's not the same case for girls. So it's not an, a fit-all-one kind of program, that there is an intention that it's for athletes. It is for male engagement as opposed to kind of the reach for other things. It has not been evaluated as far as stigma has gone, but overall it is just, it's how you present it within those partners. So you really need to get the context with that school, and that it's not about the football team is doing this wrong. It's that the football team wants to help prevent violence in the school.